Where I'm from, we started young, staying out all night. And it was cool breaking rules, and if we wanted to take a little ride.
Start with the keys. Great. Awesome. Okay. Okay, guys. Welcome to the After 30 podcast. I'm your co-host, Tabitha Valerie, and today's episode is content that a year ago we would have never thought we'd have. What it's been like to live through a pandemic pregnancy. We're joined by easily the coolest couple we've ever had on the show. Country music stars, we're calling you guys, Shannon L. and Stephen Lee Olson. Shannon is the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Pure Country, is also the host of the country music outlet Complete Country, and she's recently picked up a little 2020 Country Personality of the Year Award and Industry Person of the Year Award while casually growing a baby. No big deal. Now, Stephen is an artist and songwriter, co-writing songs like Keith Urban's double platinum hit, Blue Ain't Your Color. I, honestly, you guys, this list of accolades is so bananas. Like, I'm just got to go take a look at my resume. Okay, and so just in case, Blue Ain't Your Color, just so everyone knows, it was named the NSAI Song of the Year and crowned Single of the Year at the CMA Awards and nominated for Best Country Song and Best Country Solo Performance at the 59th Grammy Awards and Song of the Year at the ACM Awards. So he's also penned Kim Moore's number one hit, More Girls Like You. I love that song. And co-wrote Dallas Smith's platinum number one hit, Drop, plus numerous cuts for other stars like Garth Brooks, Billy Currington, Rascal Flatts, The Judds, Emerson Drive, and way more. Guys, I can't. So these two have had a wild ride this year, even more than most of us. And by kicking it off with getting married in the backyard of their Nashville, Tennessee home and experiencing their first time pregnancy in a pandemic on both sides of the border, we're getting right into the ups, downs, and in-betweens of what it's been like to have a pandemic pregnancy. We were only 15, running from the blue 5-0, shotgunning in a field with the beams down low. Growing up fast where there ain't no roads in the heat of a summer night. Kissing girls in the back of my old man Chevy. Crossing every line every time she'd let me. Learning about love, learning about life. Yeah, I was raised by a good time. Guys, that probably was our longest intro, but like we didn't want to leave anything out because that
was so good. Welcome to the podcast, Stephen and Shannon. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh my God. So nice to be talking with you guys.
We're so happy to have you. And like, first of all, we have to ask Shannon, how are you feeling?
I'm good. It's very much up and down, but in this moment right now, I'm good.
In this hot moment. Okay, good. I wanted to kick it off with that first because then I wanted to, in no easy way, segue into how much I personally love Billy Currington. And I just really wanted you to know that. And you just let me know if there's anything you can do there. You know?
I mean, there's so many things I could do with that. I also love Billy, man. He's one of a kind, and his voice is unmatched.
Is he doing new music? Because he kind of like went away for a while, and I was so scared he wasn't going to come back.
Oh, he'll always come back. You know, he enjoys a lot of his, life without music. Like, he has a whole nother side that he just mm-hmm. does not listen to music, write music, anything. He'll go and surf, and he just really loves nature and loves being at the beach, and so he soaks that in, and he's kind of figured out his life balance, right?
Work-life balance, yeah.
Early, all that
oh, well, it's so lovely to have you both. Let's chat. It's so nice to meet you both. Tell us more about you two and your story.
Oh boy, I feel like our story—it's so much in like compact into. I mean, not a short period of time, but like we've accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when we know, I agree. You just know. And judging by our time, you know, timeline, we knew.
Yeah.
Very early on.
Mm-hmm. We met at the CCMA Awards in Hamilton, I was working there doing interviews, and I kind of, I'll be totally honest, I was going to school in Kentucky when Steven was releasing music in Canada, like Raised by a Good Time and stuff. So okay. I kind of missed him coming up the ranks in music. So I was doing interviews on Radio Row, and one of my radio reps right at the end of the day when I did not want to do any more interviews was like, hey, can you please squeeze this guy, Steven Lee Olsen, in? And I was like, sure. And I looked at my videographer and I was like, you got to help me out. I don't know anything about this guy, like, at all. Like, I don't know anything. So all those accolades that you read, I was the dumb girl that was like, don't know it, anything. I got nothing.
That's amazing. Then, sometimes that's the best, though. Otherwise, I feel like you could have had such a, like, different impression of him. You know, you could have had,
yeah,
I don't know. It's nice sure. to be.
I was slate. Pleasantly surprised. Let me put it that yeah. way.
Oh, that's awesome. That is yeah. so great. So are you guys both Canadian?
We are.
Yep. We grew amazing. Up about 30 minutes from each other.
Yeah.
Of course. Good. Where did you guys grow up?
So I grew up in Schaumburg, a small town of Schaumburg, Ontario. And yeah, Stephen grew up in like Newmarket and Barrie area, like 25 minutes from me, which is so strange because it took him moving to Nashville and me living in Toronto and us meeting in Hamilton.
I can't even tell you how many times I've heard stories like that. Seriously. Like just the, you know, you have to travel to meet somebody who lives 10 minutes away from you. Honestly.
Totally. I love that. That's awesome. And where were you guys living just before the pandemic? So like set the scene for us a little before this crazy ass year happened.
Well, I mean, I've been here in Nashville, Tennessee the whole time. I've been here for about 16 years.
Oh, got it. Okay, amazing.
So seeing it kind of, you know, pre-pandemic and during is, you know, they're very different scenes, I'll tell you that for sure.
Yeah, I bet. Okay.
And then yeah, I was in Toronto. I was living in Toronto, like right downtown, which was an adjustment for me because I grew up on a horse farm. So I was living in the city. And I actually came down to Nashville in February for what's called CRS. It's a country radio seminar. Okay. And I was coming down for 2 weeks to work and I never left.
Oh my God.
That was it.
That was it. You never left because of.
I mean, there was a lot of things that played into it, but it was like everything was leaning toward, or also just like working up my favor to not have to go. Cause it was like, you know, I had events happening here that I had to work at. Then the pandemic started and, you know, I was doing my radio show and my bosses were like, well, we're having to set everybody up to do their show from home. And I was like, well, I have a studio that I can use here and I can just.
How good. Oh, that's so perfect. So you can totally still be a Canadian radio host down in Tennessee. No problem.
Right. Yeah. And Steven has made me realize that I could actually be a Canadian radio host from anywhere in the world.
Absolutely. He's kind of made it
so easy for me that I can like go to Hawaii and do my show from there.
Which is still a possibility. We're weighing out all of the options.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. You got to do that when you're expecting. So speaking of that, actually, when did you find out? Because you're due in a couple weeks, right?
Yes, which seems so crazy to me. I'm like, how are we here already? So we found out, I think it was April somewhere in the 10th.
Okay, so you were already down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we basically, we got engaged. We were planning our wedding in Hawaii. The pandemic hit. We had to cancel that. Then I got pregnant. And then we got married and it was like, here we go.
Oh my God.
Actually, I was planning on proposing in Hawaii and then I couldn't wait any longer. So I was like, you know, and I got this ring and, you know, and she's brushing her teeth right now. It'll be perfect. You know, coming up with all that.
What?
Full of breath. You know, I really made sure it was the right moment.
Looked my best, for sure.
Oh, my God. That's such a dude thing. She's brushing her teeth right now. This is the perfect moment.
Yeah.
She can have fresh breath. And the girl's mind is like, not.
It was a very selfish decision looking back now, but my heart was just like, you have to do this at the
ring. That's right.
Oh, that's so cute.
When the heart speaks, you got to act. You got to act.
He also was worried because that morning I was – I was sending him, poor guy, I feel so terrible now, but I was sending him pictures of rings on Etsy because, like, I like, I will tell you, I am not a jewelry girl at all. Mm. I love my ring. It is far too nice for me to wear, I will say. Yeah, I was like, hey, babe, this $200 ring on Etsy, I'd wear that. And he was like, probably like, oh my God, if she doesn't stop soon, I'm going to kill her.
About her, you know what I mean? And it was, it didn't shock me whatsoever. And she would have been just as happy with a sapphire cubic zirconia. But
yeah.
You know what? Later down the line, I think you might want a nicer ring. So,
Guys, you're such cutie pies. Okay, as well. Tell us a little bit more about this pregnancy and kind of like how this started to unfold for you guys. Because you were already down in the States. You were trying to sort of adjust to this crazy pandemic. I feel like especially in April, that's when shit was like getting real and really crazy. And then you find out you're pregnant. So like, walk us through that. What was that like?
Yeah. I mean, it was an adjustment for me on a few levels. I feel like just because I had applied for, once I decided I was staying down in Nashville, I started my immigration paperwork. And once you file all of that, if you file in Canada, you have to stay in Canada while it's processing. And if you file in the US, you have to stay in the US while it's processing. So I chose obviously to stay here. And then I got pregnant. So I was like, oh, wow, I'm now pregnant and I can't see my family or my friends. Yeah. So that was a lot to kind of wrap my head around, just thinking like, you know, my mom might not see me pregnant. This is right. like a lot to deal with. And we were very strict about, you know, quarantining the two of us, especially when I got pregnant. But even before that, we were like OCD wiping everything down.
I mean, we're back. That now, like we're treating it like it just started now.
That's too.
Kind of like nerve-wracking, just, you know, I didn't want to go anywhere, let alone I have to go to the doctors and start going to appointments, and I'm like, I don't feel safe going anywhere. Yeah. I don't want to go down, but
well, you haven't gone through the process yet, so that's even scarier too. Like, it's scary enough when you do it the first time around. It's exciting, of course, but there's definitely a lot of fear that comes along with it too. And I imagine it was the same in Nashville, where I'm sure, Stephen, you couldn't come to some of the appointments and stuff too, right? So did you have to do everything? You've had to do this whole thing yourself, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he couldn't come to any of the first appointments with our doctor, and I'd call him or FaceTime him. And Steven is definitely one of the husbands in the world that, like, wants to be at every appointment and mm-hmm. be a part of it. So it was, like, 10 times more frustrating. And for me, too, because I, like, kind of black out when I'm, like, nervous. So I'm like, hear some of the things that they're telling me to do because I don't remember any of it.
Totally. That's actually such a good point, because that is so real, and it can be so overwhelming, especially if you happen to be dealing with any kind of complications or any sort of bad news. I had to do a couple of appointments when I was pregnant, and they happened to be when we got some really like important and complicated news. And I felt the same thing, where I was like, I can't relay this information. Like, I don't even know where to start, you know, like it was too much. So I totally get that.
Yeah. He was allowed to come to the first, mm-hmm. which our doctor, like the doctor's office that we have in Nashville here is amazing. And our OB, we decided to go with, she's amazing. And she was like, we will allow one person to come with you to your 20 week anatomy ultrasound, just because that's a huge one where they're like checking over everything. And when she told me that, she was like, oh my God, I can only see your eyes because you have your mask on, but I can just see all the relief that went through your body. I was like, because I'm like, if they give me any sort of news that's bad and I'm alone, I don't, and I also don't want the good news by myself either, because it's not
right. It's not just you know, bad news. It's also the joy. You want to share it together. It's always in relationship, right? You want to be able to celebrate something together, because at the end of the day, whenever you come home, you're going to have to relay a story, and you can't really put your finger on the way that you were feeling in the moment. That isn't.
Yeah, you're still processing, and a lot of the times she is actually really good. We were able to, she FaceTimed me a couple times for ultrasound. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you know, thank God for technology. And she would call me after the appointment. So, or when she was with her doctor. I actually still haven't met our doctor. The one that's going to be the one that will know the sex of, actually already knows the sex of our baby, mm-hmm. which we do not. And that's a whole nother thing, you know, that's killing us on the inside too. We know now there's 4 people in the world that know the sex of our baby. And even though we don't want to know, we say we don't want to know, we definitely want to know.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, we're taking an ad break.
This is great.
To talk about actually something that's so beautiful. I'm so glad these guys, that we found them and we've been connected to Big Life Journal. So let's tell you a little more about them. I guess where I want to start is that this 2020 pandemic craziness has been hard on all of us. And we can't forget that it's also been really tough on kids. And Big Life Journal is this incredible, they're these guided journals with printable activities where you can just spend a couple minutes a day and you can help your kids turn around their thinking to be less focused on the difficult and the challenging parts about what's going on around them right now and more about a growth mindset, you know, more about what's in their control. So it's really what we focus on as adults, and it's sort of funny that we don't think about it necessarily for the kids, and this is a perfect tool for them to.
For sure. And, you know, connected to the growth mindset, it's about developing higher self-esteem and, you know, just learning that we can achieve anything, right? Kids can achieve anything, and putting that into like learning as we go. So the illustrated journals are packed with guided activities, writing prompts, and stories. Over 600,000 parents and educators trust Big Life Journal resources. So check them out. Get the Special Growth Mindset Journal or one of their popular printable kits and witness for yourself the positive changes in your children. Head over to biglifejournal.com for their Black Friday sale, which starts today. Buy one, get one, 50% off. We'll place all of the details in our show notes.
And you're clearly very tuned to who does know. that nurse, that doctor.
I've never paid more attention to anything in my entire life. I don't have a very good attention span, but one of the ultrasounds, one of the first ones that they actually knew the sex of the baby. Well, they have to type that into the computer. So I was trying to count keys. I was trying to count letters. Like, I do that shit too. She was like, I was trying to count and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, and you can't do that. Like oh my gosh. You're like counting. Okay. F-E-M-A-M-A. You're like 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that's so cute. Well, I mean, it's really interesting. We're talking about the things that were a little bit of a challenge, you know, up until this point, but can you tell us like what's been easier?
I mean, for me personally, well, I mean, for you too, because our lives, when they are normal and we are working as we normally are very busy with a lot of travel. Like last year, I was rarely ever home. I was at music festivals every weekend, then award shows, on my feet for like 18 hours a day. And so for me, I have not had the most comfortable pregnancy. And I just keep thinking to myself, I can't imagine trying to go and host a festival for 4 days straight.
Totally.
In the state that I'm in right now. I'm like, there's just no way. Like, I really can't imagine. And everyone's like, oh, Shannon, you could have done it. I'm like, I just don't think I could have. Like,
you probably would have, but you would have been so exhausted. And then it would have been a whole different set of like, okay, I got to spend this time recovering. And like, it just would have changed your days and your, you know, it would have changed your pregnancy, you know, because everything would have had to be around how exhausted you were, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And, you know, also I think of it like when I'm at festivals, I'll be honest. I don't eat the best. I like sometimes exactly. I'm like, wow, that was 14 hours. And I think I just had a bag of chips and a water. And so I'm right. like, our baby, I have had the weirdest pregnancy of cravings of like just vegetables.
Lame.
What is that telling you? Your baby wants just the real stuff. Just the
excited about ice cream and cookies and cookie dough. And I was like, here we go. I'm going to gain all this weight with you, baby. Let's go. And veggies. She has cravings for veggies.
Yeah, that's disappointing for you. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, and then, like, then you're like watching TV and eating carrots. Oh. That's so cute. That is really cute. Hey, what do you want for dinner? So I just have some roasted veggies.
You're making a joke? That is literally what we're having for dinner tonight. Pizza, Thai food, Italian, anything you want. She's like, you know what? I just want to cut up some veggies. I'm like, oh my God.
You're like, yeah, I'm out. I'm going to order a pizza.
Actually, it's been better recently. Now, every once in a while, she'll want a chocolate ice cream cone, which I'm like, thank God you're human.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God for your normal human cravings. I think that's really great. I really do love the idea of the adequate rest that you've received and the nutrition that you've given yourself. And really, I can only imagine the benefits that you've received in this period as being, you know, just beneficial for all of you, actually, right?
Yeah. That's
wonderful.
No, it has been awesome. We've been able to like really just microscope everything and just give it the attention it needs. And Shannon's going to be such a good mom. She's already like a Danny Tanner cleaner. Like our food pantry. If our baby's life looks like our food pantry, it's going to be fine and organized.
Are you into that? Have you done the full nesting? Is that like, it sounds like you're like that anyway.
Has she ever? Tell them.
I honestly have never, like, growing up, my mom, when she listens to this, she's gonna be like, you are the messiest disorganized kid ever. But when I hit like 25, something switched inside of me and I've become very OCD. Like, I do not like messes. I don't like things disorganized. And then pregnancy hit me and it was like, oh wow, this is a lot to handle. Like, yeah, I've organized our entire pantry. The other day I was cleaning out our freezer and I was on my hands and knees, like 9 months pregnant. And I'm like scrubbing this freezer out. And I'm like, this child isn't going to be near our freezer. What am I doing?
Yeah, I hear you. It's such a real thing. It's the funniest like chunk of time. And just this concept of nesting, but it is real. It is a real, real thing. I was installing our patio lights when I was actually in labor, when it was the last thing that I had to do in our new move to the house. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
So I want to ask you guys a question. So, this is okay. So anyone that we have talked to, or to be honest, might even be finding out that they're pregnant now, or, you know, maybe they're in their first trimester or their second trimester, it could probably feel a little bit daunting or just overwhelming. Cause I think we've talked about the good and the bad of what it's sort of been like to have a pregnancy in the pandemic, but we're not through this yet. You know, to your guys' point at the beginning, it's like, we're kind of buckling down to how we were earlier this year in April and May. So is there anything that you guys have discovered, whether it's like resources or these other experts or books or anything that you guys have really like, it's worked for you and you've been like, yeah, this is making me feel really good about this situation?
For me, for sure. I think just because, you know, I'm not able to maybe go see my doctor as much at the very beginning, like, next week I start going every single week because I'm about to deliver. But at the beginning, this is my first baby, so I had nothing to compare it to. I was terrified. You know, I'm not near my family. It was just me and Steven, and we're both like, this is brand new. We don't know what we're doing. And our, like my brother-in-law, Sean, and his wife, Steph, they just had a baby. So they bought us a baby Doppler. And I will say that probably out of all the products we've had through our pregnancy has been like the most mind like
easy. What is it? I don't know what that is.
So it's how you can check like the baby's heartbeat on your own at home.
Oh.
And
it was I didn't know that you could do that now. Oh my God.
She's like not kidding at all. I mean, there's so many times, and you know, especially during this pandemic, where you know, if we had questions, we may just go to the doctors, or we might just call them. But I mean, because this is obviously the first time for both of us, there was a lot of moments and symptoms that we didn't know that were natural and that everybody had. So it was just a way that, you know, if she was even had the slightest doubt that there was something wrong or anything, I could just run up and grab the sonar, spray a little jelly on her belly.
That's really wonderful. How comforting.
Yeah. And you find the heartbeat, and you know,
that is a game changer.
It was. We just did it last week again for the first time in a minute.
Yeah. Oh my God.
What a relief. What a relief to have a tool like this, right?
That literally makes me want to almost cry, because like Anise, if I had that, I feel like that would have completely changed my experience. Yeah.
Right? Because you're always in wonder anyway, right? You're always in wonder. And when you have a tool right next to you, that space between the two of you and your child, gets the space between, it erases, it gets you closer.
You just have that clarity. It's so crazy because you're obviously, you feel them in you, and it's such a deep connection that you can't
for
explain.
Sure.
But then it's very scary to like know they're right there, but you don't like totally know. Are you doing okay, bud? You know, and so to have that is so, so amazing. This is that's one of those, I'm having one of those moments right now where I'm just so grateful that we are actually in 2020 and that we're this far along in science, that that's something that we can have at our fingertips, and that's something you can have at home. Like,
for sure. And okay, so the baby Doppler, what else?
Honestly, just having a pandemic pregnancy, it's so easy when you're not pregnant to like kind of drift away from like your close people and your family and friends, because we all kind of get stuck in this weird mind space, like when you're not actually going to see friends and family. And I definitely did that at the beginning. You know, it's so weird. We have technically more time to like call people and connect. And yet it seems like it's more difficult. I don't know if that's just me, but I would get stressed or worried about something with the pregnancy and kind of like go into my own head and
inward.
Which is not a good thing. But just like making a point of like calling and checking in with family and friends and stuff like that, and calling your like fellow mom friends, and because you know Steven's like super reassuring and everything, but he's not ever been pregnant before, so like I have a lot of mom friends that are like, okay, you need to chill. Like, you're okay. It's, yep, you're, that's normal for that to happen or this to happen. And, you know, it'd be nice to be able to have them over, but like, we're so lucky that we have FaceTime and we can call them and get that reassurance. And also my mom and my mother-in-law, like having them to talk to has been super helpful too. So
that's good.
Definitely don't
stay close. And I like what you're saying. It's kind of like stay close even when you maybe don't actually feel inclined to, you know, it's kind of like ignore that and just like do it anyway, because actually it's probably what you need, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, Steven has bought me a lot of pregnancy tools during this.
The pregnancy pillow, for sure. That was a James.
Pregnancy pillow, for sure. That's a libido killer, but it's important.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was like the first night that she got good sleep, you know, hanging on to that thing. It was like she was just a new woman. She swears by it now. And, you know, the heating pad is another thing. Pregnancy bath salts is she's, you know, taken a liking to.
I like it.
A list of things that I
love every day.
Whenever you're having a really crappy day. The other thing, too, like we just realized because we're getting to the end, is like I didn't think of it until a week ago, is, you know, we wanted to go do like parenting classes and stuff like that, but they're not doing them because of the pandemic. So I found out that like Pampers has like a free 9 video series thing about everything from like when you get pregnant to breastfeeding to bringing the baby home, labor and delivery. And so the other night Steven and I literally sat on the couch and like put it up on the big screen and just like watched all these videos, and we were like,
got some popcorn and watched the baby videos. Oh my God, you know?
Yes, that's great. That's a really good resource, actually. And there's some really great, cool. And it, like the beauty of right now is that it kind of doesn't matter if they're originally coming out of a Toronto studio, for example, because they're taking everything virtual. But Toronto Yoga Mamas is a really great resource as an example, where that's where we would take our infant CPR class. And so I'm pretty sure they've migrated those to online, you know? So like, that's actually, those are some great things. That's a good point that I wouldn't have even thought that those things that, to take advantage of doing them in person, you know, and you kind of have to look for them online, but I'm sure a lot of people have moved them online.
Yep. Ooh, thank God for technology. Yeah. Everything is on YouTube. It's amazing.
Right?
Seriously, yeah. Even birthing videos that I'm like, kind of wish I didn't watch that.
Yeah. I'm like, and I mean,
wait a second. Where did my last three minutes of my life just go? I feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, what?
I'm like, maybe I would have been better just to, you know, not know what that.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss for sure. I think
especially when you get lost in the black hole. But okay, so you're
end up looking at animals. It doesn't matter. No,
but I was just gonna say, okay, you're 5 weeks away. Your due date is so close. Talk to us a little bit about the plan for when the baby comes. If, you know, thinking about sort of if family can't travel right away, and what you're thinking, how you're feeling.
Yeah. So we've kind of been prepping for this for a while, because, you know, in the pandemic, we've said like everyone handles it differently. The way we've dealt with it has been very strict. Like, we basically have been in this house since March, and, you know, we were able to travel back to Canada for a while after quarantining for 14 days and all that. And then we came back to Nashville. But other than that, like, even when we were in Canada, we didn't go anywhere. We were at home all the time. So we've kind of prepped our family that, like, you know, when we have the baby, we want some time at home by ourselves, just with the baby, to like, for us to get our routine, and also for the baby to get a little bit older and, you know, stronger and stuff like that. And then it's kind of like, you know, we have some family here. Steven's family is in Tennessee, and they'll come, but, you know, they have to get tested.
Yeah, we're making everybody take tests, and, you know, and we'll actually go get tests as well, to make, you know, it's hard to ask someone to get a test. It's such a weird, strange thing that none of us planned on.
No, but I think everyone's so much more comfortable now. Like, it's different, right?
It is. You know what I mean? And people that love you, honestly, they understand. It's like,
totally.
You
know, like, oh my God.
Asking someone to get a test is, if it's not coming from a place of judgment whatsoever.
No, exactly.
It's just for everybody's peace of mind. And especially with the new one, we're going to keep doing that for the foreseeable future. You know, the numbers keep, they're not going down. We haven't seen even close to the worst that it's going to be. So there's no reason to let up. And we're going to take every precaution that we need to protect.
It's true. And, you know, it's true, Stephen, to your point. Actually, it's a pleasure to take a COVID test if I have to visit a baby. It's a pleasure. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, I don't even think of it as an inconvenience. I don't think I know anybody that would consider it an inconvenience. And I think it's a really legitimate, fair ask. That's
absolutely
it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So do you guys have a sense of what the actual birth and the hospital experience is meant to be in this time right now?
Yeah. So I'm planning on delivering like naturally. Obviously that doesn't always go as planned. So I'm not someone who has like a strict birth plan. I'm like, whatever the best, safest way to get the baby out and
with no pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Preferably no pain, but, you know,
that
so
might not be natural then. Just so you know.
We're going to go natural-ish.
My mom is a very tough woman, but she's like, she had my sister naturally and me with an epidural. And she's like, if I could go back and not have the epidural with you, I would totally do it. And I'm like, I think you're crazy.
You might be nuts.
There you go. But you know, it's so fascinating because everybody's experience is so, so different. You'll have your own, perspective, but are you thinking that you're going to try and do hospital, or are you going to try
Yes, I'm gonna go to the hospital. So we the hospital is about like 15 minutes from our house here, and the one nice thing about it is the birthing center is separate from the rest of the hospital, so that's kind of why we chose that one.
Fair enough.
Just because I definitely don't feel safe going to a hospital right now if I don't have to. So it's nice that we're in our own building. Mm-hmm.
But like, Stephen, you can come. You don't have to. Do you have to wear like a full hazmat suit? Do we? Do you know any of that?
I mean, I hope I do. I mean, I'm dress me up. Make me look like I'm from Grey's Anatomy. That's what I mean.
Like Oprah? You want to be like Oprah with your baby?
Yeah, this is my hospital, you know, moment. I get to look like a surgeon. I can.
That's right. Yeah. So basically, in the delivery room, like I'll have a mask on as well, and all the nurses and doctors and everything will be fully suited up. You'll have like Stephen, you will also be suited up in case you were not aware. And then once we're like in our recovery room and have the baby, if it's just Stephen and I, we're allowed to like not have our masks on and stuff together. Right. But when doctors and stuff are coming in and checking on the baby, everyone's got to like put their masks on again, which I'm like. I don't feel like my doctor's so funny. She's like, is that okay? Like, are you good with everything? I was like, I have no problem wearing a mask. It does not bother me. Like Stephen and I, we wear masks. Like anyone comes to the door to deliver something, like masks are by the door. Like we have hand sanitizer. Right. It's like, that's right. Just the way it is right now. And
yeah,
we want to be safe. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
I prefer someone wearing a mask around my baby. You know, when you really think about it, it's like, who knows if someone has a common cold?
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, for sure. And it's just like the risks are too high when you've got a newborn that is so pure and perfect. And like, just why bother? You know, like if you're wearing a mask and you're asking people to test, like it's no big deal. It's such a, you know, like this is such a moment in time that, you know, when we take a look back at this in 5 years, 10 years, like, it's not a big deal if you ask for these sort of precautions because we just don't know.
100%. 100%. And we were thinking earlier about the whole idea of, you know, just listening to this podcast 10 years down the line when your baby is 10 years old and what that will look like. And so this is such a great story for us to hold and have. We'll have clarity later. Like we're just doing what we know best right now and everything else will show up, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool to show them this one day and be like, you have no idea what we went through while we were creating you.
Yeah. It's the coolest documentation though. Hey, like, could you imagine listening to something like this that your parents were talking through? Like, how cool would that be?
Well, we should take a moment and say hello to the child, which might be like 5 years
old.
Hi, little one.
Yeah. Saying hello to you.
Oh, we're saying hello and we're so excited you're on this earth. And oh my gosh, your parents are so awesome. Oh my God.
Yeah, you hear that? We're awesome.
Yeah. That's enough with the lip. Go to your room.
I love it. Well, you guys have been an absolute joy. I have to say, you were just the sweetest and you're in like, I am totally getting all these like lovely vibes. You're reminding me of this beautiful time when with my husband Jordan and I, we were in this sort of stage that you guys are in where like, I don't know if you feel like this, but particularly Shannon, I felt like this where like I leaned so much on Jordan in this time. Like it was, we felt so close. We felt so connected because it was truly like just our journey, you know, like obviously everybody else is involved in grandparents and it's super fun for everybody else, but it's such an incredible bonding experience. And I don't know, I'm getting that from you guys and it's just so, so sweet. And I'm very happy for you guys. I can't wait for the next little bit. And here we go. You know, you have a pandemic pregnancy. Like that's kind of cool for the book.
I mean, I said, you know what, earlier today, Shannon and I were talking about it and we said, look, this whole year has flew by. I can't even, I mean, it's like this, it's like we're in a time machine and, you know, Shannon on her belly looks like she's had about 6 plates at the Mandarin. So she's ready for this to like be over. So if there was ever a time where, you know, time was moving fast, I mean, now is, I guess, the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be for a fast moving year. It's a good,
Yeah. So true. Amazing. Well, you guys, thank you for being here. And I think we usually do kind of end with a wrap question. So we were thinking, are there, and we usually like to kind of bring it back to you guys, but this is kind of a different one because it's sort of been a lot about your journey, but are there any, anything that you guys view yourselves as parents? Is there any sort of like strategies or unique things that you guys are thinking that you're like really dead set on that you want to be and you want to do as parents?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of decided I'm going to be the good cop, and she's okay. Gonna be the-
That's novel. That's novel.
She's like, we didn't talk about this at all.
No, we have two dogs, and I'm like, yeah, I'm the one that has to like, you know, reprimand. So this is going to be very similar to our parenting. It's like, sneaking new treats in the kitchen while mom's like,
that's right.
You're supposed to be in timeout.
I'll always have bacon in my pockets.
That's right.
So that's your strategy, good cop, bad cop?
Oh, gosh.
So that, you know, but we won't tell them we're playing good cop, bad cop. So, sure. You know, we need them to trust us so that we can just, you know, be conniving and manipulative.
We're gonna be great parents.
We foresee great parenthood in the future for the both of you, honestly.
Of course, truly. Well, thank you so much for being here. We wish you guys like the most success, the most like safest and healthiest pregnancy and rest of your pregnancy, the delivery, the baby. Like, we just wish you all the best, and we're gonna be here for it and supporting you guys all the way through. Tell us if there's anything we can do for you, because we definitely have some hookups in the you know, new baby world. So you tell us what we can do to help you. And thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here, guys. Honestly, congratulations, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
See you next week, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
See ya.
Hi guys. Okay. You know, as part of our small business initiative, we want to take the opportunity to highlight some really cool small businesses that we just think you should know about. So here with us today is Erin Malecki, and she has a new company that she has just launched recently called Sip Well, Do Good. So thank you for being here, Erin.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. I'm so excited to be here.
Happy to have you. So tell us a little bit about Sip Well, Do Good.
Okay, so Sip Well, Do Good was actually created in response to the rise in domestic violence because of the COVID lockdown. Back in April, I had the idea to collaborate with a local winery on a bottle to raise funds for an Ontario nonprofit and then ultimately awareness about the entire issue. The idea behind the project grew when I realized that I could use the same model to support more socially responsible businesses and nonprofits. So I came up with the slogan, Socially Responsible Sipping, which to me means if we're going to make a celebratory purchase anyways, why not make an impact with it? So I think that goes for everything we buy. I'm a big fan of supporting local and supporting mission-driven companies.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I feel like you kind of answered my second question because I wanted to ask about what makes you guys unique. And that's pretty unique all in its own. I don't really know any other businesses like this. But is there anything else you want to tell us about it?
Well, I guess what makes it also unique is that I want Sip Well, Do Good to be a platform to celebrate all things socially responsible. So any small businesses, nonprofits, or just regular people doing good things in the community, I want to hear about it and I want to promote it on there.
Cool. I love it. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. We'll include information about Sip Well, Do Good in the show notes. So have a peep at that. Thanks for being here, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a great night.